This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, in which we take a single page of the Quran and we make its tafsir. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are on page number 19, towards the end of the first juz in Surah Al-Baqarah. And in the previous episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned a number of the assertions that the people of the past, the people of the scripture had made concerning belief and concerning who will have salvation or not have salvation, and concerning some of the demands that they made. And from those demands that they made is that they wanted to see Allah Azza wa Jal clearly, or they demanded certain signs and miracles from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected all of those claims and demands that they made, as we mentioned in some detail in the previous episode. In this episode, on page number 19, Allah Azza wa Jal, we begin with verse number 120. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention another of the traits of the people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير. The Jews and the Christians, Allah says, will never be pleased with you unless you follow their ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of the previous arguments that we mentioned in the previous couple of episodes of the people of the scripture and what they said and the demands that they made, from amongst those demands is that no one will enter into Jannah unless they are from them. And from their problems then, or one of the demands that they made, is that they thought that each one of them, the Jews and the Christians, towards one another, that even they were not upon the correct way. All of these things that we mentioned over the previous episodes, Allah Azza wa Jal says that it comes down to one thing, and that is what Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in verse 120. And that point being, or that assertion, or that principle being, that they will never be pleased with you. They will never accept anything from you until you follow their ways instead. Until you follow their religion. Until you go back towards them. And that is essentially what they want. And so therefore they will never be pleased. No matter what you say, what you try, how much you attempt, they will never be pleased until you follow their ways instead. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. Say that the true guidance is the guidance of Allah. Guidance is not something which is exclusive to one group or another. You can't just claim to have guidance. You must show its proof. You must be shown in your way, in your belief, in your legislation, and so on. And that is only found in the Quran and in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah Azza wa Jal warns the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore by extension his ummah, me and you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعَتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If you are to follow their desires, meaning if you were to accept their claims, follow their ways, leave your religion for theirs, after the knowledge has come to you. Remember, we said in the previous episode that when Allah Azza wa Jal was rebuking some of the things that they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you have no true knowledge, that you have no evidence. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that to follow their ways, O Muslims, would mean that you have left your knowledge, the knowledge that has come from Allah, the evidences and the proofs that have come from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you were to follow your desires instead of that knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will find no one to protect you from Allah or to help you. Meaning that no one can come to your aid. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was warned elsewhere in the Quran. And he was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ لَا يَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That even you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you were to commit shirk, then all of your good deeds would be rendered null and void as well, and you would be from the losers too. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite it being impossible for him to disbelieve in Allah, commit shirk, but just to show the gravity of the sin, that even the greatest of Allah's creation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even for him, shirk will not be excused. Even for him, it would be enough to destroy him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so therefore, the believers are told that to follow a religion other than the religion of Allah. To say, for example, that we're not happy with aspects of our religion, our sharia, we would rather take this law or that that system or whatever it may be and replace ours with theirs, then that is something which is following your desires after knowledge has come to you. And the people who do that will not find any protection from Allah Azza wa Jal, nor anyone to help them. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 121, he therefore mentions the way that the people, that you should be when it comes to revelation and scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those to whom we have given the scripture, who follow it as it deserves to be followed, are the ones who truly believe in it. Meaning that this is how you should be with the Quran, with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are given the scripture, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. The word tilawa or yatlunahu haqqa tilawati means to follow as it should be followed, to obey as it should be obeyed, as was mentioned by the early scholars of tafsir, such as the famous companion Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And the word of tilawa here doesn't mean recitation, doesn't mean the reading of the Quran and the translation that some people use in our time now to show that tajweed, for example, is obligatory because of this verse. It is an incorrect tafsir. It is an incorrect understanding of this verse, and it is not the tafsir that was given by the early scholars and the Salaf, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Rather, the meaning is, as we've translated it, those to whom we have given the scripture, who follow it as it deserves to be followed. يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, meaning they follow it as it deserves to be followed. And that means that they recite it as it should be recited. It means that they make it halal as it should be made halal. They follow its commandments. They stay away from the haram in it. They learn its rulings. All of the things that revolve around understanding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that there are people who therefore thank Allah azza wa jal for the blessing of guidance. They acknowledge Allah's blessings upon them and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in shukr and in praise and gratitude for what he has done. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, Allah says. Those are the ones who truly believe in it. And it is unfortunate that for many Muslims, we have made the Quran as the people of the scriptures of the past made their scriptures. Where it's something which is only taken out on a holy occasion, or it's only used, for example, in a court of law, or it's something which we refer to or read very sparingly throughout our year and throughout our lives. And so we have kind of become distanced from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the things that Allah azza wa jal tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complained of to his Lord, is that he said, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Quran mahjura. Indeed, my people are abandoning the Quran. And so that is the non-Muslims, but unfortunately for many Muslims, we also sometimes abandon the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. But if you're a person of salah, you're reading the Quran. If you're a person of dhikr, you're reading the Quran. If you're a person of dua, you're using the du'as of the Quran. So long as you're engaged in worship, even if you're not necessarily every day having the time to open the Quran and read it, but if you're always from the people of salah, at the very least, you're not abandoning the Quran. Because you're constantly reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engaging with it. And you're following it to the best of your ability. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, those are the people who truly believe in it. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And as for those who deny it, or deny the truth, they deny it, they will be from amongst the losers. In verse number 122, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repeat a verse that we have already mentioned a number of episodes before, approximately like half a juz of the Quran before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this verse, and he said, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. O children of Israel, remember how I blessed you and favored you over all of the people. This verse is a repetition of a verse that we took approximately half a juz ago. In a number of episodes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that the people of Bani Israel should remember Allah's favors over them. Remember the much good that they received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of prophets, by way of revelation, by way of help and divine aid from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla now repeats this verse at the end of this portion of the juz that has spoken so extensively about Bani Israel, the children of Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after these couple of verses now, will move on to another topic, and that is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And there will still be mention here and there of Bani Israel, but the vast majority of these passages that we've covered so far. So if you look at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, other than maybe the first three or four episodes, the first three or four pages that was speaking about the different types of people and categories with regards to revelation, the believers, disbelievers, hypocrites, and then it mentions the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and so on. Very quickly after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to Bani Israel. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, at the very beginning of that speaking of Bani Israel, He tells them to remember the many favors of them. The favors that they were given, prophets and messengers, and at least of whom were the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The revelation that they received of the Torah. How Allah Azza wa Jalla saved them from Pharaoh and his persecution and his armies. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned Pharaoh and his armies, their enemy, within the sea. How Allah Azza wa Jalla helped them in the desert and gave them food and shade and drink. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them by giving them covenants and giving them their rulings of legislation. And then how Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the number of pages that we've covered since, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details how they turned away from Allah, how they broke that covenant and that pledge, how they would often be argumentative and try to change the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they would cherry pick and believe in parts of revelation and leave other parts of revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now coming full circle and saying to them, these are the things that Allah azza wa jalla blessed you with, and these are His laws and legislations, and this is the way that you behaved. Remember once again what Allah did for you. Don't be from amongst those people who turn away. O children of Israel, remember how I blessed you and favored you over other people. Much of Allah's creation they were blessed and favored over, with the exception of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in verse 123, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And beware of a day when no soul can stand in place of another. No compensation will be accepted from it, no intercession be of use to it, nor will anyone be helped on that day. Beware of that day, that if you continue on your path, you will not have any ransom that you can pay, no one will intercede on your behalf, no one will come to your aid and your help. These two verses are therefore, and this whole passage that we, or these passages that we've covered over the previous episodes concerning Bani Israel, is also therefore a stark reminder to us as the people of the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that just as He showered Bani Israel with many blessings, then likewise we, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have also been showered with many blessings. Didn't Allah azza wa jalla send to us the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest and best of all of His messengers? Didn't Allah azza wa jalla give us the Quran, the greatest of His revelation? Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to us the Sharia, in which Allah azza wa jalla has multiplied our reward through a few actions? And Allah Azza wa Jalla has opened up so many doors to the paths of forgiveness and tawbah and repentance. Hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored us by making this sharia easy for us, allowing us to do pretty much whatever it is that we want to do, so long as it is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla and beneficial to us and others? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this sharia easy to follow, easy to understand, easy to study, easy to be adherence to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many favors. But also we are falling into the same mistakes that Bani Israel fell into. There are amongst us Muslims that don't uphold the pledges of Allah, don't uphold the laws and the covenants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are amongst Muslims those who try to be argumentative and try to find ways to circumvent and change the laws of Allah azza wa jal. There are amongst the Muslims those who cherry pick and choose what they want to accept as part of the religion and don't want to accept as part of the religion. There are those who are under false pretenses in terms of they can do what they like and behave as they please, and they just assume that Allah will guarantee for them mercy and guarantee for them salvation. many Muslims are of the same mindset that the Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions concerning the Jews, that the fire will only touch them for a few days and that's okay. There are many Muslims now who believe the same thing, where they think that they can sin and disobey Allah and commit major sins, and yet even if I'm punished, it will be for a short while. And then after that, I will go into paradise because I'm a Muslim. These types of mindsets and so on that we're following in the footsteps of those who came before us. And so it is a stark reminder and warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that beware of Allah's punishment. Remember Allah's favors. And all that Allah azza wa jalla wants from me and you is that we follow the teachings of the Quran, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to another passage, if you like, in Surah Al-Baqarah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will now mention to us the story of one of the greatest prophets and messengers that he sent to mankind. And that is the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah Azza wa Jal favored in many ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, as he mentions elsewhere in the Quran, and he gave him the title of Al-Khalil, the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal favored Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam that every single prophet that would come after him would be from his progeny and from his offspring, either from the line of Ishaq alayhi salatu wa salam or from the line of Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And so Allah Azza wa Jal favors Ibrahim. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is favored because he was a man of unwavering faith, a man who fully and completely and immediately would submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as soon as Allah azza wa jalla's commands would come to him. An amazing prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jalla mentions in numerous places in the Quran because of the signs that we can take from that. In this particular passage, Allah azza wa jalla will mention, as we said before, Surah Al-Baqarah is a surah that speaks about the importance of iman and belief and the way that the Muslim should be in terms of their submission to Allah Azza wa Jalla and so on. And so from the prophets that most epitomized and showed this particular trait of submission is the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will give us his example now. In verse 124, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. When Ibrahim, and remember when Ibrahim's Lord tested him with certain commandments which he fulfilled. Allah Azza wa Jal gave to him commandments and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he fulfilled them all. What are those commandments? The scholars of tafsir differ greatly as to what they were. Some of them said that it is the commandments to perform Hajj, and the commandments that he was given, for example, of leaving his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam in the barren desert land. Others says that no, it was the commands of the fitrah. That, for example, he should, you know, as Muslim men, we shave we trim our mustache and we shave our underarm hair and so on. Those types of things, circumcision and so on, those are the commands that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to him. But the stronger position Allah Azza wa Jal knows best is that it encompasses all of the commands that he was given. Whether it's to do with pilgrimage, Hajj and Umrah, whether it's to do with the issues of the fitrah and personal hygiene, whatever it may be, because Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't specify one over the other, as Al-Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala says in his tafsir. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal gives a general statement that Allah Azza wa Jal tested him, and Allah calls them tests. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى. Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla likewise, when he gives to us these commands, pray, give zakah, fast, be good to your parents, be honorable to your guest, all of these commands that we have in our religion, they are likewise tests for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, be like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Because what did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam do with all of his tests? فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. He completed and fulfilled all of them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said to him, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. He said, I will make you a leader of all of the people. And we know that he is the leader of a people because we have been commanded in the Quran to follow the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Indeed, for you there is a good example in the Prophet Ibrahim. And Allah Azza wa Jal says elsewhere concerning Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّهُ. Indeed, Ibrahim was a model, a role model, a leader. And that is because Ibrahim alayhi salam, the many challenges, as we know, that he will go through throughout his life, the many tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places before him, as Allah azza wa jalla mentions here, he passed all of them. So I will make you, O leader, O Ibrahim, a leader for people. a role model, someone that should be followed. And that is essentially what the Imam is. An Imam, yes, is someone who has authority and power, but an Imam is also someone who is followed. And that is why in Salah, the person leading is called the Imam. Yes, he has authority and responsibility, but he's also someone who is followed. For example, in Salah, you prostrate, when he prostrates, you go up, when he goes up, and so on and so forth. And likewise here, we will make Ibrahim a role model and a leader for people. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam responded and he said, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. He said, oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, and what about for my offspring? Would you make all of them and my descendants, oh Allah, make them leaders too? This is a beautiful verse. Or this portion of the verse is extremely beautiful because Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that this amazing Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, is constantly looking out for, making dua for, hoping in Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy for his offspring. And the word dhurriya in the Quran, which is repeated a number of times in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, means offspring. It doesn't mean just children. We often sometimes translate it as children, and often when you say children, we think of our direct children, our sons and daughters. But the word dhurriya is actually more comprehensive. It means anyone that is a descendant of yours, any offspring of yours. So that's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It could be for a number of generations to come. And so he made the dua, oh Allah, and likewise from my offspring. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is told by Allah Azza wa Jal, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah responded, my pledge does not hold for those who do evil. Because from the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they would be people who are righteous. Like the prophets Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and Yusuf and all of the prophets that would come after him, including our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But likewise, from the progeny of Ibrahim would be those who do evil, like the Quraysh. All of the Quraysh are descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. And so they all, in terms of their lineage, in terms of their background, they all go back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But are they equal? Is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam equal to the likes of Abu Jahl? Never. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, yes, amongst them, they will be people of leadership. And it is based upon this dua that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, this singular honor, or this honor that Allah Azza wa Jalla placed all of the prophets that would come after him from his progeny. However, at the same time, it would not be something that all of his progeny and offspring would benefit from, because amongst them there would be those who do evil. And that is therefore something that we see that in our Sharia, it doesn't matter who you're related to, doesn't matter what your family name is, doesn't matter about your lineage or your background or your citizenship or the color of your skin, all of those things are secondary to your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So someone can have all of the most amazing traits and attributes, but if they don't believe in Allah, that person is not loved, or that person has no position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, someone could possess none of these attributes. Could be from the worst tribe and the worst background and the most lowly caste and whatever it may be. But if they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, they are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and raised up high over and above others. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims by extension, it's not enough that you simply belong to a particular family or whatever, until you yourself are from the people of Iman. And one of the things that the Quraysh felt that they had, you know, an assertion, a right to, is that just by virtue of being Arabs of Quraysh, that tribe, they could do no wrong. Just because they belonged to Quraysh, they were custodians of the Kaaba, they were people who lived in Mecca, that automatically guaranteed them success. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says no. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on one of the first occasions that he spoke openly to Quraysh, inviting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made that very clear. That if you don't believe in Allah, there is nothing that I can do for you. You will not be successful. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the same thing to his aunt Safiya, to his daughter Fatima, and on the deathbed of his uncle Abu Talib, he said the same thing to him as well. If you don't believe in Allah, there is nothing that I can do for you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam in verse 125, and he says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And we made the house, meaning the Kaaba, a resort and a sanctuary for people, saying to them, take the spot where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam prayed and stood as a place of your prayer. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the Kaaba is a mathaba, mathabatan lin-nas, a resort. A mathabah means a place where you benefit from. You are rewarded, whether it's worldly reward or reward of the hereafter. And that is because the Kaaba was a place that the Quraysh benefited from. And the people that reside in that area, even till today, they benefit from it both in worldly terms and in terms of the hereafter. Even people who don't live in that area, who converge upon it in the seasons of Hajj and Umrah, benefit from it. As we know, for example, living in the West, there's many people who take Umrah groups. Groups of people that they take and they charge them money. They're benefiting from going to Mecca and making pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quraysh likewise would benefit from the commerce and the business that the pilgrims would bring into the city of Mecca. Until today, the people of Mecca benefit. Whenever the pilgrims arrive in Hajj or for Umrah, they benefit from the taxi drivers, to the barbers, to the shopkeepers, to the restaurant owners. People benefit, and so it is a place of worldly benefit, but also it is a place clearly, and more importantly, of benefit of the hereafter in terms of reward and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَمْنَا. It is a place of safety and security. And that is because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah Azza wa Jalla to make the city of Mecca a sanctuary, a haram. And that haram has remained until, and it will continue to remain until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the only slight exception to that haram was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he entered to conquer the city of Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that that was only for a short period of time. Its sanctity has always been from before that time, and it will continue until after that time, until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's why it's not allowed for you to hunt, not allowed for you to uproot trees, not allowed for you to kill, and so on and so forth in the haram because of that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And take the place of Ibrahim as the place of prayer, the station of Ibrahim as the place of prayer. The station of Ibrahim is the stone and the rock that he stood upon in order to finish constructing the Kaaba. So as he was building the Kaaba, and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam would pass him the stones, he would build the Kaaba. And once he got to a certain height, to reach the top of the Kaaba, he had to stand upon a rock, and that became known as the Maqam of Ibrahim. And that was something which was close to the Kaaba during the early times, but in the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu an, he moved it back. And he moved it slightly away from the Kaaba so that there would be a difference between the people making tawaf and the people wanting to pray behind it. And it's in that place until our time today. That is considered to be a place of prayer. The majority of the scholars of tafsir are of the position that the Maqam of Ibrahim that we're told to take as a place of prayer, that's what it's referring to. Another scholar of tafsir said, no, it means all of the rites of Hajj. His place of prayer meaning a place of worship. So that would be Arafah and Mina and Muzdalifah and now obviously the Kaaba as well. Either way, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us to take that place as a place of prayer, and that is why it is the sunnah, as we know, that after you make tawaf, you pray two rak'ahs behind the maqam of Ibrahim. Allah Azza wa Jalla continues, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Allah says, and we commanded Ibrahim and Ismail, purify my house for those who walk around it, meaning make tawaf around it, those who stay there, meaning they make i'tikaf, and those who bow make ruku', and those who prostrate make sujood. Meaning that the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and by extension then obviously this is in some regards for every house of Allah Azza wa Jal that it is purified for people to worship. But the Kaaba has additional status, additional virtue, because the acts of Hajj and Umrah are only performed in the city of Mecca, and the acts of Tawaf only performed in the Kaaba. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salatu was-salam that they should go and purify the Kaaba for this purpose. For the people making tawaf li-ta'ifin, and they are the people who make tawaf around the Kaaba. For the people making i'tikaf, and those are the people that seclude themselves in worship in the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal. For example, most famously in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, but it can be outside of Ramadan as well. And for the people who pray, make ruku' and they make sujood, because those two actions of ruku' and sujood, as well as tawaf, in the state of ihram and i'tikaf, are from the greatest symbols of showing submission to Allah Azza wa Jal and showing humbleness before Him. The muhrim, the person making tawaf in ihram, that is an amazing show of submission, that you take off every natural or every normal type of clothing and you dress yourself in those two white sheets and you walk around the Kaaba. The one making i'tikaf secludes himself in the haram, refuses to go out, to mix with people, to meet with family and friends, only to worship Allah, that is a sign of submission. And likewise in the salah, the ruku' and the sujood, the prostration and bowing positions, are from the lowest positions that a person goes to when they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the final verse on page number 19, Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse number 126, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُّهُ إِلَى عَذَابِ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام made dua to Allah and he said, Oh my Lord, make this land secure and provide with produce those of its people who believe in Allah and the last day. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and as for those who disbelieve, I will grant them enjoyment for a short while and then subject them to the torment of the fire and an evil destination that is. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that from the du'as that he made for the city of Mecca, as he, obviously his son Ismail resides there and he lives there and he grows up there, and that is where he will remain for his life. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made a number of du'as for the city of Mecca and for its people. And from those du'as is this du'a, that he said Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah Azza wa Jalla should make it a place of safety. And Mecca has always been safe. Mecca has always been a place that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made safe from before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until our time today. وَرْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ أَنَا وَاللَّهِ, bring produce for the people of Mecca. That's because Mecca is a dry, barren valley. Nothing naturally grows in Mecca. Mecca is not a place like Medina where you have date palm trees and so on, nor is it a place where you have a great amount of agriculture or a great amount of grazing land for animals and livestock. It is a place that is surrounded by hills and mountains. And so therefore, how did Allah Azza wa Jalla provide for the people of Mecca? As we said, through the commerce of the people that came and went for pilgrimage. They would bring and they would have, because of Mecca's position between, you know, on the way between Syria on one hand and Sham, and Yemen on the other hand, it was the place where they would go for their caravans of trade in the summer and the winters. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in Surah Quraysh in the 30th juz of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that is why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, he said, Oh Allah, I ask you to make Mecca, Medina, as blessed as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made du'a for Mecca to be blessed. And Allah Azza wa Jal granted that dua for the people of Medina as well for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to Ibrahim alayhi salam that as for those who disbelieve, who live in Mecca, like the people of Quraysh, the disbelievers from amongst them, I will give to them enjoyment for a short period of time. Meaning that they will also benefit from the commerce and the trade and the wealth as the people of Quraysh did before the life of the Prophet ﷺ and during his prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they will only enjoy that for a short period of time, and then they will return in the next life to the punishment of the fire for their disbelief, and what an evil destination. And inshallah ta'ala, in the next episode we will continue with this passage concerning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his offspring from the prophets who were from his offspring enjoined upon their own children and their families that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, because it is with that tawheed that Allah azza wa jalla opens up all of these blessings from the heavens and the earth upon the people of Iman. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.